Jesus was the master storyteller. He could, in just a few words, capture someone's attention, communicate a powerful truth that you could think about for a lifetime, and etch it on your memory so that in just a sentence or so, you would have a truth that would not readily be forgotten. That's exactly what he did in the single sentence parable of Matthew 13:33. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Just 23 words in English, and yet so very much is communicated. What Jesus did here was that which he often did. He took something that was part of the ordinary and everyday life of people, and grabbing their attention, used that in a memorable way. Leaven? Well, every man who was in the audience had eaten the bread that had been prepared in his first century Palestine. Every woman who was part of the crowd had either prepared it or, as a child, had seen it prepared in the kitchen where she grew up. Leaven and bread and baking, it was all part of the people's everyday life. What they did back then was to take a piece of dough from a prior day's baking and set it aside until it would ferment. And then when they would come around to baking again, take the larger mass of flour or dough and knead into it that smaller piece that had fermented until it would leaven the entire lump and then it would be baked. Everyone there knew about leaven. So as soon as Jesus referred to it, there was instant identification and understanding for every person in the crowd. At the same time, though, Jesus shocked them by using leaven in a positive way, because all of the rabbis that had instructed them and all of the prophets about which they knew always used leaven as a symbol of evil. In fact, to the average person, and maybe for every person in the crowd that day in Matthew 13, there had never been the thought that leaven could be symbolic of anything that was positive. Let me show you. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. Here it is, Jesus himself teaching on another occasion, who here uses leaven in the typical way that most people would have referred to it in first century Jewish Palestine. We're told that in the meantime, when so many thousands of the multitude had gathered together that they trod upon one another, Jesus began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Now they understood that. That would not have grabbed their attention as much as the parable of Matthew 13, because here leaven meant hypocrisy, and hypocrisy was bad. And Jesus was often arguing against and with the Pharisees. That would make sense. Leaven is evil. Or take a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verses 6 and 7. Where the Apostle Paul uses leaven as it was typically used in the first century as a symbol of that which was bad. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:6, "Your boasting is not good." So he's talking about boasting, bragging. "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened." In this case, leaven equals boasting. And boasting, he says, is bad and sinful, so it's a negative thing. But Jesus, when he speaks to the crowd in Matthew 13:33, shocks them, grabs their attention by using it in a way that they had never heard it used before. Everyone who was there that day knew what leaven does. It permeates and it transforms. They didn't even have to think much about it. So everyone, they just knew. So in 23 English words, Jesus grabbed their attention with shock, saying something that didn't quite fit with the way they ordinarily thought, used an analogy with which every single person there was familiar, and taught powerful truth about the kingdom of God. Now, suppose that Jesus were here today and were standing behind this microphone and wanted to teach us about the kingdom of heaven. Would he refer to leaven? I think not. Were he to refer to leaven, he would pick something that is not part of our everyday conversation. Many of us here have never baked anything more than a chocolate chip cookie, if in fact we have done that, and most of us have never baked bread, or the bread that we baked, we bought the dough preformed, frozen at the supermarket before we put it in the oven. So we don't talk about leaven. It wasn't part of your conversation this past week, and it probably won't much be a part of your conversation this next week, unless there's some fleeting backward reference to this parable and this sermon on Sunday morning. We wouldn't think about it. It's not part of our vocabulary. It's not part of our ordinary experience. So if Jesus were to stand here and refer to leaven, we would not be shocked. We would not have familiarity. It would just be another comment about which we would think very little. But suppose Jesus were here this morning, and he wanted to teach us about the kingdom of heaven, and he were to speak into the microphone, and he were to say, "The kingdom of heaven is just like AIDS, which a person gets by sexual contact, and it moves through that person's body until it runs rampant in the whole body." They'd probably get our attention. Because AIDS is part of our everyday conversation. You can't pick up a daily newspaper. You can't interact with someone who is part of the medical community. You can't read a weekly news magazine without there being an article or a concept or an argument or something that relates to AIDS. Because we're thinking about that. We're talking about it. But seldom, if ever, have any of us heard of AIDS referred to in a positive sense. Can you think of an instance where someone has used AIDS even as an analogy for something that is marvelous and wonderful and supernatural and good? Probably not. And yet, as soon as the reference is made to AIDS, you know quickly that it is something which permeates and transforms. You know that a tiny microscopic virus gets into your system, either through sexual contact or through a needle, through transfusion, and you don't even know it's there. You may not even know it's there for years. But slowly and surely, eventually, it multiplies until it permeates the entire body and transforms a healthy body into one that is terminally ill and makes incredible changes in appearance inside and out. We understand that. We understand that automatically. We don't have to have it explained to us. As soon as we hear the analogy made, we know. Now, in fact, if you go home today or to work tomorrow or someone in the hallway, let's suppose we have somebody who played hooky during this 9:45 service, and they just happen to say to you, what was the sermon about this morning? Well, here's what I want you to say. You ready? I want you to say that the pastor said that if Jesus were preaching today, he would say, "The kingdom of heaven is just like AIDS." Now, I don't want you to say anything more, because if they skipped out, they don't deserve to hear the rest, all right? Let them buy the tape. Or else you go to work this week, and someone says, "Well, in my church, this is what we did on Sunday. In your church, what did you do?" And you say, "Well, our pastor said that God's rule in somebody's life is just like AIDS." I say, "You really go to a creepy church. That is strange. Your pastor, he must have some weird..." Really? But you'd have their attention, and you could begin to explain. And that's precisely what Jesus did. In just a couple of dozen words, he took that which was ordinary, he took it and used it in a shocking way that they never had heard before, and he communicated a powerful truth. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened." The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now, we've already talked about the 2 ways in which the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. One is that it permeates, and the other is that it transforms. Leaven goes a long way. A little bit is mixed in, disproportionate in amount, to the rest of the dough that is being prepared. In fact, it only takes a little bit. And given enough time, that leaven will permeate all of the flour, all of the dough. The big ball of flour does not sap the leaven, but the leaven permeates the big ball of dough. Now think about that. Think about that and the lessons of leaven that applies then to the kingdom of heaven and to our lives. Do we not often think in terms of the big world of sin and the little Christian community or your little Christian faith? And do we not defensively think that we need to watch out, we need to put up our barriers and our restraints, lest the world on the outside transform us on the inside? Aren't we concerned on what the world will do to us? And yet, if we were to think about it and speak about it as Jesus thought about it and spoke about it, we would see it the other way around. For he did not talk about what the dough did to the leaven, but what the leaven did in permeating the dough. It isn't society that is to penetrate the Christian. It is the Christian who is to penetrate society. It is the church that is to impact the world. When it comes to the kingdom of God, the greater power is on our side, not the other side. Sometimes we quote that verse of Scripture that says that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Sometimes we act as if Satan were the greater power. Sometimes we talk as if the power of evil were so formidable that the best we can do is to retreat from it. But Jesus is here talking about the kingdom of heaven, the rule of Jesus Christ in life and on earth, and saying that it's just the opposite way around. The little is able to change the large, rather than the large changing the little. The whole point of which is to say that that very little can go a very long way. That's true of our witness. Maybe you have thought to yourself, I stumble out a word of witness to someone who is in my neighborhood, and I'm the only Christian to my knowledge who lives within blocks of my home. What difference can I possibly make? They have a style of life, they have a philosophy of living that is totally contrary to mine. The best I can do is set up something of a private Christian ghetto and escape from their influence. I can't make a difference. Ah, but you can make a difference. For the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. A little bit goes a long way. Or you may, on a business trip, visit and stay in a hotel where there is a Bible sitting on the nightstand next to your side of the bed by the telephone. And you think to yourself, what good can a Bible be there? The people who come into these rooms are hardly interested in religion. That little bit of religion could not make much difference in their lives. But the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It permeates, and a little goes a long way. Or you may think that your son or your daughter, who is so young and so malleable, is going to be transformed for ill in the school that he or she attends. But have you ever thought that that son or daughter could be as young and tender as the child is, like leaven, where the school would not change the child, but the child would change the school? We must never underestimate the power of God nor of his kingdom. We must realize that we are talking about a God who is more powerful and greater than anyone and anything else. And when he rules in our lives, as few as we may be, as outnumbered as we may be in the context in which we live, the fact is that the kingdom of heaven in our lives and we are like leaven. Leaven that permeates. And leaven that once started doesn't stop. Do you remember before the freeze of this rather mild winter came, you may have gone for a walk on an autumn day by a pond near your home and picked up almost instinctively a pebble by the little shore. And you threw it out. And you watched what you have watched a multitude of times before as the pebble plops and then the little bit of water bubbles up. And then there are concentric rings that go out all the way to the other shore of the pond. Once you've thrown the rot, you can't stop them. And so it is with the kingdom of heaven. Once the leaven has been placed in the dough, there's no taking it back out. There's no extracting it. It goes on and on and on until it makes a difference, and a powerful difference. Maybe we underestimate the tremendous power that is in that which is small in the hands of God. If you were to drive along one of the highways through the Rocky Mountains, you couldn't help but be impressed if you were to take a moment to notice the number of trees that are growing out of the rock along the side of the road. That has always amazed me, that sometime a seed somehow settled in the slightest indentation or crevice, that there was sufficient moisture and enough nutrients that somehow it was able to start to grow, and that it sent out tiny little shoots, that as it grew up to be a little sapling, it also put its roots into whatever cracks, crevices, openings it could find in an otherwise monolithic rock. And then it survived amazingly through the cold winter months. And come next spring, when the moisture again returned, it started to grow until it was a few inches and then a foot. And then over years and years and years, it grew and grew and grew until its root system went deep inside the rock where you thought it could never possibly go. And eventually, the root system of that tree began to split apart the rock. Whoever could have dreamed that that type of permeation of rock could take place? But it does. Given the time and with the power, it permeates until it transforms. It's like leaven. It's like the kingdom of heaven. It's like what God does in our lives and in our world through us. Oh, at times we may become discouraged because the results are so long in coming in our community or in our business or in our lives or in our children's lives that we wonder if we will ever see the difference that is made. There are some instances even where the permeation of the leaven and the transformation that it brings comes after we're dead. Telemachus was a Syrian monk in the year 400 who made his first visit to the city of Rome, which was a nominally Christian city. He was astounded as a believer in Jesus Christ to find that in a city that bore the Savior's name, they still were having the gladiatorial battles, where men would fight against one another in a bloodthirsty clash that was inevitably mortal to one. He thought that atrocious, for he recognized that these men, these gladiators, were created in the image of God. And he wondered what he could do as the agent of the kingdom of heaven, a frail man, a little man, a man who was anything but a gladiator and was not even a Roman. The next time the gladiatorial battles were fought, Telemachus made his way into the Colosseum and actually onto the floor of the arena. He went out between the gladiators and ordered them to stop fighting. They laughed at him. They didn't attack him. They pushed this frail monk out of the way and onto the ground and resumed their battle. But he got up and he went between them again until the crowd began to jeer, and eventually people picked up rocks and started to stone him. And the signal was given and one of the swords flashed in the sun. And Telemachus was dead on the floor of the arena. But the once shouting crowd became silent. And they realized that they had killed a man of God. And the historians say that that was the last time that the gladiators fought in Rome. One little man before a crowd of 80,000, with the rule of Jesus Christ in his life, had permeated what seemed to be an impenetrable crowd and culture and made the difference. Telemachus did not live to see the results, but he brought the kingdom of heaven to earth. Do you have enough confidence in God and in his kingdom to believe that even if you never see the results, he will bring that transformation in your neighborhood, in your business, in your school, in your son, in your daughter? You see, the kingdom of heaven is our kingdom. Our little goes a long way. And that which is started, that is truly of the kingdom of heaven, does not stop. In our lives and through our lives, the kingdom of God permeates everyone and everywhere until the world is touched. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. 2 ways, I had said. One was that it permeates, and the other that it transforms. Leavenless bread, well, it's hardly bread at all. Leavenless bread is, it's more like a cracker. It's dry and brittle. It's tasteless. It's the kind of thing that catches in your throat. It's not what you'd expect to find served at a five-star restaurant. It's not what you would normally offer to your guests. It's unattractive. It's nothing like the bread that you'd ordinarily order and ordinarily buy. Not because the flour out of which it is made is inferior. Not because the formula is all that different. But because it lacks leaven. Because the yeast is missing. And therefore it doesn't rise. Therefore it doesn't bubble. Therefore it doesn't have life. Therefore it doesn't have that which makes it what it's supposed to be. Hey, that's like a lot of people's lives. They think they've got the recipe. And they put together their schooling and their money and their family and their house and all of these things. And they are dumbfounded at the end to find that life is flat and tasteless and unappetizing. That it doesn't give the satisfaction in the stomach that they had anticipated through all of the putting together of the recipe. And many times they don't know what's missing. They don't understand that what is absent is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God, the rule of Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives rise. He's the one that causes the bubble. He is the one that makes the difference. It is leavenless life because the kingdom of God has not given to it rise. Now, by contrast, is that which is leavened. Leavened bread. Well, leavened bread is quite different. The leavened bread is that which is full and tasty, that which has the crisp crust on the outside and which has the soft, tasty bread on the inside. It's that which has bubbled and has come to life. It's that which is all that it's supposed to be. It's that which is exciting and delightful. It's that which is good and which is appealing to other people. That's the transformation that the leaven makes. And that's the transformation that Jesus Christ makes. The kingdom of heaven permeates the dough, just like the kingdom of heaven. The rule of Jesus Christ comes into our lives and transforms and makes that difference. My, how large is the leaven lesson that what our lives ought be is not simply a fulfillment legalistically of some human formula of success, but rather is the difference that the rule of God can and will make. What transforms our society is not some political thing or economic. It is the rule of God that brings His righteousness into our world. And what grows our families and marriages into something wonderful is not the houses in which we live. It's not the amount of our paychecks or the money in the bank. What makes the difference is the leaven of God ruling in our lives where He is the Lord and the King. That's what makes the difference between a leavenless and a leavened life. There are those who say that the main point of this parable is the contrast, and I think them right. When you look at the before and after, the difference that the leaven makes, when you look at what God's rule does in our lives, the kingdom of God in human lives and society. This past week, I had lunch with an interesting man, Herr Peter Meyer. He is the principal of a Swiss Bible school in Beatenburg, Switzerland, a place called the Bibelheim. He is as cosmopolitan as practically any man I have ever met. His mother was British, his father a Swiss German. His wife is French, and he was raised in India. So this dear man has been around, and he understands with amazing clarity what is happening in the scene as far as politics and religion are concerned in Europe. He told me an interesting story. He told me that his father-in-law and mother-in-law were missionaries in France prior to World War II. And then he described the awful hardships that were their experience during the German occupation, how they were pathetically poor, and how they suffered miserably. He said they never quite came to the point of starving to death because of the lack of food, but that they continually teetered on the edge all the way through the occupation and thereafter. He said that they were faithful to the Lord, but the results were almost nil to be seen. Then he described an experience that he had, what I think must have been about 30 years ago, and how his father-in-law took him on a journey to Normandy in France. And his father-in-law took what little money he had, and he had bought some calendars that had Bible verses on them, and he went door to door in Normandy distributing them. In an area where there really was no other reception to the gospel, there was no other indication of an opportunity for evangelism. Peter Meyer said that at the time he thought, this is a total waste of money and energy and hours. Then he explained that now, 30 years later, in that very same part of Normandy, there are dramatic and exciting spiritual things happening. He said people are coming to know Jesus Christ in unprecedented numbers, that the church is growing and becoming established as it never did before, that there's hardly an explanation that anyone can come up with it. But he knows the explanation. That 30 years ago, there was a man who didn't have much money, didn't have much resource, was like a tiny little lump of leaven, who was spread out, and for 30 years it seems to have been wasted. But the seed was sown. The leaven was kneaded in. It penetrated. It permeated. And now, at last, it's transforming society. Jesus says, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Is the kingdom of heaven in your life? Is God there ruling? You know, we all live by rules, whether self-made or man-made or God-made. The question is, what is the rule of your life and mine? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior? Of course that's primary, and if you haven't, you ought. You ought right now. And if you have, or when you do, make sure that it is not simply a matter of some fire insurance policy against hell to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, but it is also an acknowledgement of Him as Lord of life, as King. For there is no kingdom without a King. And when He is the King of your life and rules, then the truths of the kingdom of heaven will be lived out. And when they are lived out, then you become the leaven in your neighborhood. Then you are the yeast that will permeate your business, your school, your family. You and I are God's leaven, where a little can go a long way. And once started, it won't be stopped. You and I are the leaven to transform the world about us. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Our Father, we are grateful for your truth whenever we can receive it. We are delighted that Jesus, in simple and straightforward everyday language, communicated so that we can understand it. Now, our Lord, we want to live it. We want to see the kingdom of God in our lives permeate all of us and transform us all. And we pray, Lord, that we, as small and insignificant as we might think ourselves to be, may be that lump of leaven in our world to permeate and to transform for the glory of God.